Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you once again for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. And Lord, we are so privileged to be here. And Lord, for those who couldn't make it, Lord, bless them, God. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would also bless the internet family. So Lord, we're asking now that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Once again, I've entitled this morning's message, We Are Accepted by God's Grace. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And let's all read together verses 1 through 9. Let's read. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature of wrath just as the others. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Grace, you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. Saints, I'm hoping that this message will convey to our hearts, our minds, our understandings. And I tie it into the message that I taught Wednesday night. It's not about us. It's all about God. And for the 23 years, by the grace of God, that God has allowed me to walk in his ways, it has never been perfect. There were failures. There were setbacks. There were times where I disappointed myself, my family. Those times happen. But when we look to the scriptures, this is where we gather comfort. Well, we learn that God and his providence has gone before us, and that we would walk by faith and not by sight. And lo, we do fail at times. We do fall at times. I'm here to remind us, and we're going to read through the scriptures this morning, that God is the God of all comfort. And when he has elected you, the gates of hell cannot prevail. And yes, there are times where we even condemn ourselves. And we think, oh, God's up there with a bat ready to beat us on the head. As a child, yes, we will receive chastisement. But chastisement is totally different from punishment. Punishment comes upon the wrath of the disobedience, those who are unbelieving. But for us as a child of God, God looks at us totally different. Listen, many of you have children. And there are times where you have to chastise them in love. And you teach them why you chastised them. You teach them why I had to come and maybe paddle your behind. But then you restore them back to you. And you let them know why this had to take place. And then you love them back to yourself. And they see a picture of God the Father loving us back and restoring us when we fall out of fellowship with him. Nowhere in Scripture will we find that we lose our salvation. We are secure in him. And so, saints, in almost every aspect of life, others evaluate us by our performance. Are we successful in our careers? Have you ever asked yourself that? Are we real successful? Are we fit? Are we attractive? How much wealth do we possess? And so it's so easy, saints, to believe that God judges us in similar ways based on our behavior. And so although Christians recognize that salvation is by grace, many nonetheless strive for God's acceptance, never sure that they have his love. So there's a fine line there. And this is what we're going to look at a little closer. So we do need to take a little personal assessment this morning. And the first question comes to mind. Do you think or ever think God must be displeased, impatient, or disappointed with you when we disobey or make mistakes in life? Come on, I know a lot of us have gone around the merry-go-round with that in our minds, haven't we? Oh, I failed this time. He's displeased. Oh, saints, I'm here to remind us that nothing takes them off guard. The Bible's clear that all that the Father gives to me, I will in no ways lose one. And so if we can rest in that security, we know that he is allowing us to go through situations of life, that we would glean on the Word of God, that he would raise us up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Because we are prone to mistakes, we still live in this sinful body. This nature that we have received from Adam will not be changed until the change comes when the Lord Jesus Christ comes for all of us. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we that who are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord, forever be with him. And then he closes by saying, comfort one another. We are to be comforted that there is a change coming. And we see that the earth right now, it's travailing, it's groaning in pain. And we see that there is a change coming. And that change is not going to take place in Washington. The change is going to be a supernatural change where we will burst out of these bodies of sinful flesh and have a body just like Jesus. Jesus was the first prototype. When he rose again on the third day, he was the first to rise and conquer death, hell, and the grave. And God had you and I in mind. Wow. Saints, the Bible teaches that as believers in Jesus, we are completely accepted. Here's another question. What would you have to do to be sure of his acceptance? Think about that for a moment. Because I've been, and I've seen, and I've heard, and I have experienced that sometimes you have to work for God's acceptance. We're going to see through Scripture that it refutes that idea. Because we need to understand that God is totally in control. We are his chosen. And because he has chosen us before the foundation of the world, because he has elected us, he's responsible. Hallelujah. I'm glad I can defer everything to him. Why? Because all my sinfulness, everything that's so corrupt in this body of flesh, I hide behind the cross. And Jesus stands before me. He stands before you. And he's covered us with his grace, his mercy. He's the mediator. He's the one that came. He's the one that lowered himself. He came from heaven and his kingdom and came to be with us, to walk amongst us. He came to experience what you and I experienced, but the difference was he had no sin. Hallelujah. Thank God he had no sin. He was the sinless Savior that still came to be amongst us to shed his blood for you and I. What kind of plan was that? It was a mighty plan. It was an awesome plan. And so Scripture teaches, saints, that through Adam's rebellion against God, all of humanity was corrupted, inheriting the disease of sin. But when Jesus died on the cross, hallelujah, he made a way for everyone who believes to him to be the Holy One of God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 18. We're going to look now in the light of Scripture where God, I believe, is going to set someone free regarding condemnation. Because we're going to read in the Scriptures that we should no longer be condemned. Listen, Jesus said that the world's already condemned. And so Jesus came to save those which were lost. So he came to save us from ourselves. This is what God has done. And so that's why he had to explain to the righteous, I didn't come to save the righteous. I came to save those who were sick and lost. You know, God has saved us, the foolish things of the world, to confound the wise. Romans 5:18, it says, therefore, as though one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. You see, because of the fall, this whole earth, this whole creation is under now the curse of that rebellion. But God's going to make all things new. This is why Jesus even told his mother, I make all things new. And they will become new. First and foremost, you that have his nature now, his spirit, we're the new man in Christ. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, but one new man. And that's us. We're the born-again believer, washed in the blood. God has given us his Holy Spirit as a deposit, as a guarantee, knowing that the gates of hell now cannot prevail against us. And even if we're taken in death, we will be with him. That is our assurity. That is our guarantee. The Word of God promises that. And look what it says, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Wow, don't you love that word, justification? Just as if you never sinned. And so Jesus, our mediator, stands before us. How many of you have ever been to court? How many of you have never had an attorney? They cost money, right? $200 an hour sometimes. Jesus spilt his blood that he would be our mediator. There was a heavy price paid. This is why God says, glorify your body. Glorify him, magnify him. He's our mediator. Look at this, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But when sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Praise God to that. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wow. That's a blessing. That should excite your heart to know what God has done for you and I. So I pose many questions this morning to all of us. And this next question is, saints, as believers, how do we obtain righteousness? Is it by works? Is it by climbing the corporate ladder? Is it about getting A pluses in your classroom? Is it about being goody good two shoe? Come on. We know how that operates. And we live in a competitive society. Our nation is built on competitiveness. It strives to be the best. Climbing the corporate ladder, climbing to be all that you can be. We've seen the commercials. We know that. But let me tell you, in the kingdom of God is opposite. It's totally opposite. Let's read Romans chapter 3, verse 21. It says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. See, God has quickened us. God has made us come alive. God has given us a measure of faith that we would turn to him. Because prior to that, we were dead in our sins and transgressions, and we couldn't hear him. We couldn't see him. How many of you have friends and family members that for many years you have shared the gospel, and yet you don't see them in church, you don't see them in Bible study, they won't come to a home fellowship? Why? Because God hasn't given them ears to hear and eyes to see. Now, will God ever do that? Only he knows that. Our job is to plant the seed and water it. And then God, you give the increase. That's the only way it's going to happen. That's how it happened for me. I'm sure that's how it happened to you. many who were praying, many who planted seeds in your heart. But God is the one that does all the work. Look at verse 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation. That means a substitute. His blood, look at this, by his blood. It was his blood. It was his sinless blood that did the miraculous transformation in our life. Through faith. Look at that. It's all done through faith. To demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. What? Are you still haunted by your past sins? Let me ask you this. Are you still saying, wow, you know I'm saved by grace through faith, but you know, I still struggle with that, and I still struggle here, and I still remember that. We just read our past sins. We're going to read about our present sins, and we're going to read about the future sins. It's all on the account of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, not ours, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Wow, look at that. Look at dictionary.com. I found this. Dictionary.com defines justify as to declare innocent or guiltless, absolve, and acquit. This lets us know that God's grace has acquitted us, that at one time we had the penalty of death. What? Mm-hmm. We were all guilty, every one of us. Even 2,000 years after the cross, we're still guilty. It was our sins that nailed him to the cross. And God the Father had a turn on that day, because all the wickedness, all the licentiousness, all the iniquity, every sin that the Bible declares missing the mark was all put on the Lord Jesus for you and I. This is why we can rejoice. This is why when we fail and we slip and we say, God, cleanse me, wash me, and God will empower you to continue. Why? Because it's his grace, his mercy, his love. God gives us ways to always continually make it right with him. And this is not about salvation. This is about having a loving relationship with him. And we're going to see this a little closer. So the next question, what basis do we have peace with God? How do we obtain that peace? Right now, there's wars stirring up. There's embassies of the United States being bombed and being destroyed. Obviously, there's no peace there. And there's never really been peace since Adam and Eve's fall. There's always been turmoil. There's always been strife and envy and jealousy. James talks about the tongue, that it's an unruly member, and they can bless God and curse God in the same day, the same hour, the same minute. And so how do we obtain the peace of God? Do we say peace, love, Bobby Sherman? Oh, that's before your time. That was my time. But let's look at Romans. Let's go to Romans 5. In 1 and 2, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, okay, so now we've been acquitted, okay, we got that. We're acquitted now. God doesn't hold none of the past sins, present sins, future sins against our account. The account's on the Lord Jesus. So, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2. Through him also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. See, saints, we're understanding it's not about us. It's all about him. And if we can saturate our minds, our soul, our hearts in the word of God and trust and believe what he says regarding our position with him, we will continually have peace and love and joy and long-suffering and meekness. We'll start to understand and get it that God, thank you, because all this has been given freely by you. Why? Because you have chosen us before the foundation of the world. And you have blessed us. And so, saints, we are innocent and guiltless in the Lord's sight. I'm going to ask this question. How does that make you feel right now, knowing or being reminded again that we're not guilty before Him? That we are saved by grace through faith. How does that make you feel? Hallelujah. To me, for some of us, hallelujah, we should be running on the mountaintop saying, God, thank you. Thank you, God. Because I was headed to a place that the Bible talks about where the worm dieth not. And there's eternal torment there. But, you know, we look at that. Yeah, that's a horrendous place. I'm looking at it like this. Jesus, you paid that price for me? I'd rather look at falling in love with the Savior, not for what He saved us from. But we would say, God, only you and in your mind and in your heart that you chose us, the sinful people, a people that you created. And when everything else aligns with the word, we rebel. And yet, He still says, I love you. Look at the moment when He was on the cross. Before He gave up His spirit. Look at all the mocking, the beating, the humility, the scourging, the whipping, the bleeding, everything. And remember, Isaiah says that He was up there. Now, you know, all the movies show that He has like a little tablecloth. He was up there naked before the world. And He was beaten so bad, you couldn't even know what gender He was. He was unrecognizable. And yet before He gave up the ghost, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What kind of love is that? Can we ever comprehend that kind of love this side of heaven? Probably not. This is why we struggle with one another. This is why we fall in and out of fellowship with one another and fall out in fellowship with God. Why? Because we haven't got the concept of what He's done for us. And if we truly understand what He's done for us, guess what? It should resonate in our heart that we would learn how to love one another like He has loved us. And even when we fail and make mistakes, we can always go to the cross. We can always come to Him and say, God, forgive me. I love you. Make things right, God. And let me tell you, He's faithful. He's faithful, faithful, faithful. And so, saints, next question. Why is it possible to be confident that God's love isn't conditional upon our behavior? You ever thought that? Well, if I do this, He's pleased, but if I do that, He's unpleased. And so we go with that merry-go-round mentality in our mind. It's because we don't understand our position in Christ. Once we understand our position in Christ, guess what? It doesn't become obligation. It becomes a love affair with Him. And once you establish that love affair with Him, then you are empowered by the Holy Spirit of promise to work out those things. That God would work out those issues of life and that you would be raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That's what it's all about. Look at Romans 5, 3 and 8. It says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance. And look at this, perseverance, character. See that? God wants to build character in us. God wants to allow these trials and trips to come into our life. Why? So that we can teach others when they go through, because they will go through. Look around you. Look around your family members and friends. They're going through right now. But God is building character in us so that we would be a blessing to them. It's not about us. It's all about God. Look at verse 5. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God has graciously empowered us with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's the enabler. You know, you ever go to certain websites and you're trying to download software, and then there's one last thing you have to do is you have to enable it. Well, God has enabled us now to walk in His grace, to be empowered by the Most High, to be used mightily in word and deed. Look at this, verse 6, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die." And I don't believe with my whole heart that any one of us in here, possibly someone around the world, would die for the whole world. Come on, think about it. Think about if you only had one son, and he was chosen to go to the cross for the whole world. That would confound you, wouldn't it? It would grieve your heart. He would cry out, "No, God, is there another way?" Jesus, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, "Lord, is there another way?" But then he knew, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." He wanted to pass the cup, but you know what? It was the providence of God that his son would come and die for the sins of the world. And so we are here. We are recipients of that grace. This is why God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so in verse 7 it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone even dare to die." Verse 8, "But God," look at this, "but God demonstrates his own love toward us. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This has to let me know that no matter how, and I was sharing this with my brother last night, we can be toe up from the floor up. We've heard that little slogan before. Our life's so broken, so distorted, so destroyed. Some of us were involved in drugs and gang banging and all kinds of manner of iniquity. Some of us were self-righteous. Never experienced those things, you know, that we call testimonies. But yet they grew up in a religious home, never knowing Jesus. There's no difference. There was still a void. There was still a lack of understanding who God was. And so knowing all that, that he died, knowing 2,000 years later we would be here today, September 16th. By the way, happy birthday, Dale. It's his birthday today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got cake and ice cream for my brother after. Come on, don't leave without. I had to remember that. I snuck it in somehow. But listen, saints. All that you and I, our whole being, going back from birth to our present day, that Jesus already went before us. And so now, as I shared, we can hide behind the cross. And all of our sins have been covered. We're cleansed. They've been washed, past, present, and future. So does this give us license to sin? No. Because if you're a true child of God, having the Holy Spirit of promise, reading God's word, growing in the grace and knowledge, understanding his will, then guess what? You're going to have a love relationship with them, knowing what he saved you from, knowing how he saved you, the depth of his pain to go to the cross. And we would just cling on to him and say, "God, thank you. Thank you. I love you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And now I can spend eternity with you. Now I can praise you like the 24 elders or, you know, in heaven that are saying, holy, holy. All the angels are saying, holy, holy. When John was translated into the third heaven, he saw in Revelation a sea, meaning billions of those worshiping the King of Kings. And guess what? We are in that number. We will be in that number. And so we should take joy. We shouldn't look at this Christian life as obligations and do's and don'ts and, oh God, I fail you today. And then self-condemnation enters in. And then the lie from the enemy, who is the father of lies, will come and whisper to you. And all of a sudden, it's like a frog inside of a pot of water. And then you turn on the heat, and it slowly starts to warm. and then comes to a boiling point, and then the frog doesn't know any better. It dies in the water. But if you were to take that frog and the water's boiling and drop him in, he jumps right out. But this is how sin is. This is how the world is. This is how we can easily gravitate to the things that the flesh loves. This is why God has given us his word, that we would be strong in the power of his might in the fellowship with the saints. And so, God accepts us by grace, not based on our performance. You see, saints, in the first century, some Jewish Christians believed that good works were necessary to earn salvation and to make us Christ-like. Unfortunately, there are even some Christian denominations that operate in the same manner. It's about the do's and don'ts. The book of Ephesians teaches us different. It teaches us that salvation by faith alone, good works cannot save us, but rather they should result from our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Look at this. This should give us great comfort that we didn't earn this salvation. None of us had to strive for it. We didn't have to step upon each other like in the corporate ladder. We didn't have to, you know, backbite and stab anybody in the back. It doesn't work that way. Look at Ephesians 2:8. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift." Look at this. "A gift of God, not of works." There it is. Not of works. Get that in your spirit. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. We can't go around like this. "Well, man, I'm a super saint today." I've seen that before. I've seen it in my own life. Come on, God had to humble me. When I first got saved, it was like someone giving me an M16, and I was just spraying everyone, "Repent or perish, repent." Man, I lost so many friends and family members that day. They said, "What is he on now?" God had to give me grace, mercy, wisdom. We need to have wisdom. Ask God to give you wisdom and how you can lovingly share the good news. But look what it says. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." His works. He works mightily through us and in us when we yield to him. When we start obeying now the scriptures, because not out of obligation, but because we love him. And that's the difference. My wife and I, we love each other, and so the result of that is serving one another without bickering, without, "Oh, you know," with a snarl and a scorn. We learn to love one another just like Christ. We learn to love Christ. And so it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should" what? "Walk in them." This is an exhortation. This is what we are to say, "Okay, God, if this is your will for me, Lord, empower me. Lord, strengthen me. God, give me, Lord, illumination from your word. God, I want to trust you. God, I want to obey you and walk in this way." Why? Because we're looking for points? No. God is just looking for obedience from his creation. Wow. Because many of us were rebels without a cause. I was a rebel for the first 30 years. Oh yeah, everyone would try to, "You know that's wrong. You know you can go to jail. You know you can go to prison. Why did you do this? Why are you doing that?" I didn't have a clue. I was in darkness. My eyes were closed to the gospel. My ears were closed until God came and quickened me, gave me faith to believe, and his father drew me to his son. That's when the miracle takes place. Because you know what? The greatest miracle? It's not about being delivered from cancer. It's not about being delivered from diabetes. It's not even being raised from the dead for temporary purposes. But you and I, who were dead in transgressions and sins, that God has raised up. That is the greatest miracle. Can I get an amen in the house? That's the greatest miracle. Yeah, we love to operate in the gifts and everything, but those are gifts. And a lot of times our healing is just temporarily. Thank God for God's healing. But remember, we're not here forever. And I want to just take one moment right now that we would pray for my family. Those of you, we've been praying for Michael Lee Master. My brother David flew to Frankfurt, Germany yesterday morning to bring my sister home and Mike Lee Master's body. He passed on yesterday early in the morning. And so we want to continue to pray for the Lee Master family and the Sullivan family. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we come before you, Lord, as a body here, knowing, God, knowing through this moment that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to your will and purpose. Lord, we pray for great comfort to Melissa and to the rest of the Solomon family and Lee Master family. Lord, I pray, God, that his passing is not in vain. And Lord, we're reminded in the scriptures that when one of us go into the ground, Lord, they would bring forth fruit. And so we're praying, God, that whenever the service ends, that whoever, Lord, you call to speak on your behalf, Lord, that there will be salvation that would come from this. And Lord, that you would be high and lifted up, that you would be glorified and magnified. And so, Lord, continue, God, to reconcile, continue to restore, continue, God, to do all things because we trust you and because we love you. Thank you that we have taken time out this moment to give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Saints, death is part of life. And this is why we always pray that God, would you call those to yourself. See, all we can do is be obedient to the word of God as the plant and to water. Only God can give the increase. Only God makes his election sure. And you know if you're his, because the Bible's clear. You hear his voice. You love him. He's transformed you. He's changed you from the inside out. You have now a love affair with him. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so these are the evidences. These are the proof that there's a transformed heart, a mind now that's been illuminated by God. And now you're walking in his ways. You're drawn now to the cross and the things of God, the things that so deeply enrich our lives. That's the key. You know if you're saved. It's not about, I don't know. That's not for us to judge. Yeah, we see fruit. We hope to see a lot of fruit. We hope to see fruit falling off your tree. That's a blessing. But there's baby Christians that, you know, they struggle. I know I did. I had the machine gun, remember? We're all going to go through. We're all different phases in our walk with Christ. Nevertheless, he is the one that rules and reigns in our heart. He's the one sanctifying us, setting us apart. He's the one that's working mightily through us, despite of ourself. Despite of ourself, he's chosen his creation to live in us. You ever saw Earth from a Google perspective, you know, way out from the Hubble telescope? I mean, it's just like a little globe. You can't even see continents. All you see is maybe blue and clouds, maybe some brown where the continents are. Just imagine how big the universe he created. Light years and light years and light years away. Galaxies and universes so vast. And yet, he chose to come from heaven to be with us. He created this world perfectly for us. Yeah, it's a little hot. It's a little humid in here. We get that. But we're not suffering, are we? God has blessed us abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. It's God's grace. Saints, we become godly over time by surrendering to the Holy Spirit, not because we follow the law of Moses or any of the rules. Look at Galatians 3. God's word specifically declares this. In verse 1, it says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Look at verse 2. This only I want you to learn from. Did you receive the Spirit? Notice capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. By the works of the law? Or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit by faith? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? See, saints, this is going to, I'm hoping this morning, will allow us to look closer, that God would free us from our self-condemnation. Because when we were saved by faith, the Holy Spirit came upon us. Now we can enter in. Now we can enter in and understand the things of God. But prior to that, we had no knowledge. We had no ability. We weren't enabled. But the Holy Spirit now has enabled us to walk in by this grace. And so we don't appease Him through the works, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we can look into the Word and we know, oh, this pleases you, that displeases you, because I love you, Lord. I want to obey you now. That's when it becomes a love relationship. Yes, there are things that God wants us to obey. We get that. We understand that. But come on, prior to being saved, how many of you obeyed your parents? How many of you obeyed your school teachers? How many obeyed your taskmasters at work? How many of you obeyed? No, we were always rebellious, weren't we? But the power of God quickens us, and it gives us illumination to say, wow, God, I am now free to obey you. I am free now to worship you. I'm free now to glorify you, because when we were bound in sin, we didn't know how to do that. We had no clue. We had no concept of that world, the kingdom of God. We had no concept. But look what God has done. Verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, now you're being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. It clearly portrays this. Verse 5, therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Wow. This salvation, his grace, his love, it's by faith, not by works. Look at this. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of the faith of the sons of Abraham, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached to the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of the faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Wow. And so how is righteousness imputed upon us? By faith. Where does faith come from? From God. And who gives us that faith? God. He gives a man and a woman a measure of faith when they come into this world. It's designed purposely for his goodwill and pleasure. And this is what we have to understand. Wow. Look at verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just, hallelujah, that's you and I, the just shall live by faith. We saw what justification means. Wow, just as if we did not sin. Saints, this message I'm praying will allow you to be liberated from self-works and condemnation. Because we need to understand it's about Jesus and what he's done for us. And look at this, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Wow. Hallelujah. That's what should make us excited, saints. And so, the question imposes upon us, how did the Galatians first receive the Spirit? We see this clearly. We just read it. I love verse 2 of Galatians 3, 1 through 4. It says, "This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" So saints, it's clear. It's faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. But a lot of times we don't understand. He gives us the faith to believe. Wow, it's all Him. Thank you, Jesus. This is why when I'm driving around, saints, I'm at home, I could be wherever, I'm continually reminded that He called me, He blessed me, He saved me. And I had nothing to do with it other than the faith, that measure that was given to me, it responded to Him. It's all His will. It's all His will. And so what was required for them to experience His power? We're going to go through these quickly. Galatians 3 and 5. "Therefore, He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does He do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" We've covered that. Next question. How did Abraham obtain righteousness? Galatians 3 and 6. "Just as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness." We have to believe this thing, don't we? It's all truth. There's not a lie in the Word of God. Every dot has been dotted, every T has been crossed, and the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. Saints, are we spiritual descendants and are blessed by believing with Abraham by faith? That's what the Word of God says. Let's go to the next scripture. It's Galatians 3 and 8. "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing with Abraham." See, this is key concepts. And those of you who are taking notes, take them down, go back over and over, and understand these precepts, these concepts, these truths, so that we don't fall into traps thinking, oh, I've got to keep a rigorous set of laws, of do's and don'ts. You know, when you buy a condominium, those of you who ever bought a condo, I've been a realtor for many years, and you have to, before we close escrow, they have a stack of CC&Rs, covenants, conditions, and restrictions. These are the do's and don'ts of that condominium complex. Can't wash your car. You can only have a small dog. You know, the list goes on. But God wants us to know it's not about that. Because when we fall madly in love with Him, now the precepts, now the Word of God, now the truths of God becomes alive to us. And so now we line up the spirit man with the Word of God, not the fleshly man. The flesh don't want nothing to do with God. Ask yourself how many times you wake up in the morning to pray for 15, 20 minutes. Probably doesn't happen, does it? Or how about before you go to bed? Or how about coming out here for 1 hour on Wednesday night to pray with the family of God? Only a handful do that. Because the flesh battles with the spirit. It's always battling. Oh. When you go that, oh, that's your flesh. God wants to spend time with us. He wants to fellowship with us. When you allow the spirit man to rise up, let me tell you, those are times of blessings, times of refreshment, refreshing times. And so, saints, why is trying to earn righteousness or justification by observing the law is a futile endeavor? Ask yourself that. Well, in Galatians 3:10, it says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree or continuing all things which are written in this book to do them." Got a couple more questions and then we're closing. And so what purpose did Christ free believers? What was His purpose to free us? Found in Galatians 5:1-2. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Jesus has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This is an exhortation. Why do we want to go back to Egypt? Why do we even want to go back to the drumbeats of Egypt? What do I mean by that? Why do we want to go back to that secular music that God's delivered us from? Come on, let's be truthful. Many of the lyrics are about fornication, about adultery. Some of them are even explicit, X-rated. You know, beating that head like that. Those are the drum beats of Egypt. God has transformed us. He's given us now a heart and a mind to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Fill your heart with love and purity from the Holy Spirit. He's freed us. That's why we don't need to go back to the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Wow. Saints, there's things that, you know what? We can really be so blessed, and we can adhere and uphold and rejoice in the things of God if we just say, God, I want more of you and less of me. And when your mind's made up, oh my goodness. Another question. Here's what really matters to Paul, according to Paul. Galatians 5:5-6. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. It's all about God's love and love for one another, saints. If we understand the love of God, we understand the mercy of God, we understand the love that came to this cross, we would really, really, really start adhering and taking notice and taking the things from God and treasuring them in our heart. David said, I hide your word in my heart. For why? For I will not sin against you, Lord. This should be our desire, that what we're taking in this morning, that we take in on Wednesday night, that you take in during your devotional times, the times that you spend with the Lord, the women's studies and all those, that the word of God would hide in your heart, that you would not sin against God. Because if you have that loving relationship with him, you don't want to hurt his heart no more. That's what it's all about. I don't want to hurt my wife's heart. I want to love her. I want to raise her up. I want to serve her. And this is what he's looking for. He modeled Christ and his bride, the church. He modeled the marriage according to that. That we would lay our life down for one another. And we would learn the things of God. And we would learn to love like him. And so, saints, Christ will be a whole savior or none in your life. And this passage, therefore, cannot be used to prove that any true Christian has, in fact, fallen away from grace. You know, when we read that passage of falling away from grace, what it really means is that the grace of God was presented to our Jewish friends at the time. But they chose legalism. They didn't choose the grace of God. This is not talking about the grace of God that's been given to us. They chose not to go that direction. But the grace of God was given to us because of his election. He chose us before the foundation of the world. And so we are secure. This is why the Bible says, and you need to understand this, that all that the Father gives me, I will in no ways lose one. That should bring great comfort. That we were predestined before the foundation of the world. That we are redeemed. That we are loved. We've been justified, sanctified, and now glorified. You know what glorification means? That means in his eyes, in the future, you and I cannot see past these walls. But in eternity, he has glorified us, meaning he already sees us in that state with him. He sees us transformed already in the new body. The mind that has no longer sin. The body that will no longer decay and die. He's already glorified us and he sees us in that future tense. And that should bring us great joy. Great joy. That God is before us. God is with us, and God has gone ahead of us. Can I get an amen in the house of God? Hallelujah. And so, saints, before I close out, how do you feel when you fall? How do you feel when you fail? How do you feel when I miss the mark? Come on, we've all gone through that yo-yo merry-go-round. We've been there. We've been there. But we can take hope in Romans 8, 1 and 2. Let's read that. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, meaning we're not unbelieving anymore. We've been saved by grace through faith. God has chosen us, elected us. God has given us a new position in Him. And so now it's nothing to boast about. It's something that we can say, Abba, Father, thank you, because I was dead one time and now I'm found. And God has saved us from the guttermost to the uttermost. God has done all the work. And so that's why this should liberate us here, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of promise that God gave to us by faith to empower us so that we can be enabled to walk in the kingdom of God and operate in His kingdom. And so it says, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Who has verse 3? Who's reading their Bible right now? We're just looking at the screen here. Who's got verse 3? Oh, can someone stand up and read verse 3? Come on. Read verse 3. Yes. You see that? God condemned sin in the flesh that we may live. Hallelujah. That we would no longer have condemnation, that we will no longer be ridiculed, and that we would carry this burden of guilt on us. Jesus did it and paid it all on the cross. That we would be free to worship Him and praise Him and glorify Him and serve Him with a glad heart. Not a heart of obligation. Not a heart that, oh man, I got to get up and go to church. And man, that shouldn't be your MO. Mode of operation. God has done the miraculous in our lives, saints. And I personally want to thank and praise each and every one of you who have come out. I'm so thrilled this morning to have my daughter and my son-in-law here. He took a break from, he's the worship leader at Pacific Hope. Pastor John Leader is their senior pastor. And sometimes the weather has an effect on all of us, and we invited them to stay over, and we praise God. By God's grace, we have air conditioning, and they have four lovely kids, my grandchildren, and they're here on invitation, and I praise God for them, that they're here with us, glorifying and magnifying God. And one day, I'm going to ask Brother Ryan to come and worship with us, and we've done it before in Pastor Matt's home. We had several musicians come and take turns and just worshiping God. We look for a time of refreshing. Saints, I need us to be praying for September 23rd, Sunday night. I believe it's next week, isn't it? That we would have an all-night worship service here starting at 6. We spoke to Leilani McGuire and her husband Michael, and they want to come with their worship team. They're attending the Rock Church right now. But they have a night every 2 weeks. They just have a Tuesday night of just worship. They said there's about 200 people that go into this room there set aside at the Rock, and they just worship, 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 and the presence of God falls in the room. Now, Leilani McGuire was the one playing the keyboards for the women's tea last year. Do you remember that? She played until 11:30 that night, as Sister Marietta was edifying and praying for the women. And so pray. We thought we were going to do this on the 30th, but it's the high holidays here. And so our Jewish friends utilize now until the high holidays are over. So let's pray about that. We'll confirm all things with Pastor Matt. But in closing, since the time of Abraham, God has purposed that salvation be only by faith and not of works. And so, saints, if you're in Christ, rest assured that He's already accepted us. We've been accepted by the Beloved. What's your struggle? What's your dilemma? What's your merry-go-round experience? Why is that happening? It's because the Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. And what's that knowledge? The Word of God. Knowing who God is. Knowing what He's done for us. Knowing that we cannot do anything without Him. Knowing that even serving Him here, worshiping Him, is a grace given to the church by Him. And so, when sin interrupts fellowship with the Father, He wants to restore His disobedient child, but never ceases to accept the believer, His child. We can rest assured in that. And so I pray that this message would resonate. The Word of God has saturated our hearts, that we would leave this place knowing that, God, You're for me, not against me. God, knowing that You're with me until the day You come for me. And so with that, let's go before the Lord. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank You, God. We thank You for the trials, the tribs. We thank You, Lord, for even the setbacks, Lord, that sometimes we fall into. But God, we thank You, God, that You're never ceasing. You're always there. You love us so much. The same way we love our children, the way we raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Lord, You have even more superior love than that, because there is no sin in You. And so You are the righteous one. You are the holy one. We thank You, God, that there's no too big sin that You cannot resolve and eradicate from our lives. Lord, we thank You, God, for this day. We thank You for Your goodness, Your grace, Your mercy, and Your love. And Father, we're asking, God, that You would continually pour out Your presence upon us. Lord, that You would rest assured to the saints, the scriptures that were spoken today, that we can rest assured in You, not in man, because man will fail us. Man will disappoint us. We cannot look unto man, but we can look unto You, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that whatever the need to the saints that are here, Lord, that we would open up this altar once again. I'm asking for the prayer team to come forth right now as we exhort the congregation. I'm going to ask that whatever need you may have, that you would bring it to the altar. And remember, whatever you request, it is made known unto God. And so, Lord, I pray, God, those right now that struggle with their humanity, those right now that have relational problems, those right now that may have gotten an ugly report from a doctor, those right now whose loved one is contemplating of leaving one another. Oh, yes, we see this in the church, churches around the world. God, I'm praying, God, that You would be the God of reconciliation, that You would continually be the God of restoration. Lord, that You would just solidify in our hearts, Lord, that our minds would be made up to serve the King of Kings and to the Lords of Lords with grace and love and peace to the Holy Spirit. God, continue, God, to pour out grace and abundance of love toward Your church. We thank You for this body of Christ. We thank You for all the bodies around the world that love You, that serve You. Lord, would you continue, God, to pour out wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from your word, and that your grace would be sufficient. So, Lord, be glorified. Lord, be magnified. Be high and lifted up, Lord, in the midst of your people. And when it's all said and done, that we would just say, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Father. We love you, Holy Spirit. We love you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you that we are the elect from God. We thank you, God, before the foundation of the world, you already knew us. And so, Lord, bless your people this morning. And Lord, thank you for the AC that's in the fellowship hall. Lord, cool down this place too, Lord. And so, Lord, we love you. We praise you. We exalt you and magnify you. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, hallelujah, give God praise. Hallelujah in the house. Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Saints, the prayer team is here. We want to pray whatever need is. We know that God has continual blessings upon his children.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah.